This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Have you ever been in the forest at night or a large wooded area? It can be a scary place. It can be scary not only because of the animals that come out at night, that make it their daytime, the nocturnal creatures that are there during the day, but we don't necessarily see them. But sometimes the people, too. Sometimes there's people in the woods that come out at night. That can be just as scary, if not more. Sometimes the sounds that animals make can be remarkably human-like. Sounds of raccoons crying can sound like children crying in the woods. That can be extremely disturbing when it seems like there's crying children high in the branches above one's head on a starlit night. Little eyes peering down at you. Bushes being ruffled near you. What's over there? Is it watching me? Is it coming towards me? Am I scaring it? So many questions. There's a lot of unknowns everywhere in the woods, even in daylight, but at night, it adds that much more mystery. What happens when you come across something that, even in daylight, if you saw it, you couldn't identify it? It's not something that's in a book that has a name next to it. At least not any encyclopedia or dictionary. Only books of lore and myths and legend. And when you come across one of those things of legend and realize it is flesh and blood, how do you react? How do you make sense of such an encounter? That's what one person had to do. And that's, of course, what happens in our next story. Take a listen. Nothing haunts a man more than the decisions of the past. The world threw something impossible for me to comprehend at an early age. I'd soon find out life is not all rainbows and cotton candy. Many people came here to see the majestic mist rising from the mountains early in the morning and think of it as pure beauty. But all I see is gases. The hills belch up from whatever they swallowed up the night before. Because for me, the mountains have tainted my very soul. I left holes in my heart forever. The wilderness can grant many gifts, growth, new life, clarity, and a vast number of opportunities. But also the wild can suffocate you in sorrow and drown you in dread, given the right circumstances. You ever asked yourself what you do in the event of needing a helping hand in a dire situation? This was a difficulty that I was faced with, which changed my life forever. I grew up in the foothills of eastern Kentucky, what I consider to be the base of the Appalachian Mountains, on my grandparents' farm mostly. I spent most of my childhood learning lessons of life with my grandfather. The value of a dollar was also how I had fun digging ginseng roots, hunting for substance, and wildlife population management in our area. My grandfather was a fur bearer, as was his father before him. Anything that was hard work pretty much is part of my upbringing. Looking back on those years, I'd not trade them for anything. I went to church every Wednesday and Sunday, always had a lot of cousins around to play with, and the creeks and streams around the farm. I was taught early survival in the wilderness. The teachings I learned never came easy, but always held lasting impressions. We only went into town a couple of days a week when we visited the feed store for our livestock, and sometimes I'd rent a movie from the video store uptown. That was as close as I got to the big city lifestyle as a child. The main thing we did most nights when the whirlpool started singing and the lightning bugs came out was to gather our hound dogs and travel to the Daniel Boone National Forest to go raccoon hunting. We did this because, as I said, my grandfather and I were fur bearers. The raccoon population in our area is very thick, so this was part of our lifestyle to chase that hard-earned dollar. As for wildlife management population control, because raccoons can carry and transmit more types of diseases than most animals in our area. We had two dogs at the time. Our young dog's name was Bo, He was a red tick hound, the breed of the animal beautiful in every way. He was mostly red in color with a few white specks on him, almost the color of strawberry wine. Our older dog was a treeing walker hound. Around here, we just call his breed Walker. And his name was Old Jake. He was a giant of a dog for his breed at somewhere around 120 pounds. He was a tricolor dog, meaning he was black, white, and tan. He was a great hound and had a heck of a good nose on him for tracking critters through the mountains of the Daniel Boone National Forest. Old Jake was not afraid of anything at all. Once he'd track a raccoon to a tree, it was his domain. On this night, it was the opening night of raccoon hunting season in the state of Kentucky, October 1st, 2003. My grandfather and I had decided to go on a hunting adventure into the Daniel Boone National Forest. He was in poor health, so I always had to handle our dogs and take care of them. We went out on our nightly hunts. We got in a bit of a late start that evening, so we had to travel off the beaten path on a six-mile road called Shooting Range Road near the Clear Creek and Leatherwood area of the Daniel Boone. Once we got to the very end of the road and it came to a dead end, we parked our truck and got out of the vehicle. Dropped the tailgate down, opened the dog box door. After that, Bo and Old Jake jumped to the ground, ran straight down a creek into the forest and started hunting for a raccoon scent. A short while after, Old Jake started barking on the scented trail. He smelled, and then Bo joined in with him, making that sweet southern hound music that whistled a grave song through the crisp night air. They tracked the scent of the raccoon they were chasing up the side of a mountain and over a cliff a good 700 yards from the truck. Shortly thereafter, the raccoon got tired of running and decided to climb a tree. Both the dogs let out what's called a location bark, letting us know that they found the animal location. They've been chasing and will continue to bark until I get to the tree, in which they are because this is how they were trained. My grandfather looked at me and said, "Sounds to me like they found it. Go on, grab the gun. Get out there, get out of the truck, and take the two-way radio with you so we can keep in touch." Because, as I said, my grandfather was in poor health and could not travel on foot extremely far distances. And I did just as he said. Strapped the gun to my back, grabbed the two-way radio, started walking into the forest towards the location of our dogs. As I made my way in, I heard a pack of coyotes off in the distance start barking and howling, going on crazy, as a coyote pack does. Grandfather called me on the radio and said, "You hear that pack of coyotes? You better get in there quick to the dogs. That way, when they see you, they'll run away." I know that might sound crazy to a lot of people, but in our area of Kentucky, coyotes are hunted hard because they can cause harm to livestock, so they're mostly nocturnal in our area and terrified of people. In almost every case, when a coyote sees a human, they run as fast as they can to get away from them in Kentucky. After that, I started picking up my pace, trying to get into our hounds. As it was too late, just minutes later, the pack of coyotes had made it to our hounds, and within seconds, a massive fight broke out. I heard them grab a hold of Bo, and then he started whimpering and took off running to get away from them. But not Old Jake. He held his ground right next to the tree. I believed he did because, in his mind, he might have thought the coyote was coming to take the tree away from him. But really, they just wanted to eat him. Old Jake fought all over the place with a pack of coyotes. They were holding his ground for a while, but soon after, the whole dynamic of the struggle changed, and the coyotes were starting to fight Old Jake as a pack. My grandfather called me again. "Get in there quick, they're going to kill him." So I started running through the forest, scared for my dog's life. Suddenly again, the fight changed, and Bo had circled back around and came back to help Old Jake fight the pack of coyotes. And once again, Old Jake was holding his ground. Or so I thought. My coyotes were whimpering and screaming. It was just pure mayhem in the woods, an absolute battle. As soon as I made it to Old Jake, and once I shined my flashlight on him, he had a coyote by the throat that let go once he saw me. He then took off running along with the rest of the pack. I walked over to Old Jake, bent over, patted him on the head, and checked him out, showing a few cuts and gashes on him, but overall, he was in good shape, meaning that he was just in a fight with a pack of coyotes and lived. Just in front of us was a huge black oak tree, and behind it, I heard a coyote whimpering and doing what I would call a blood gargle, choking on its own blood. Old Jake and I walked around to check it out, thinking that around this tree we would see that Bo had killed a coyote. But once we could see, I noticed that it was not Bo. It was not Bo at all. It was a great big old dog, broad, bigger than the size of a Saint Bernard. And it turns and looks at me while holding a dead coyote in its mouth by the ribcage, and no part of the dead coyote was touching the ground. I stopped and just looked, as if we were just standing feet apart from one another, astonished. The strange dog dropped the coyote out of its mouth and looked at me. That's when I realized how much I underestimated the massive size of this animal. It leaned in forward and stood up on its hind legs in a slow motion that I can only describe as if you've ever seen an elderly person trying to get up out of a rocking chair. At this moment, I thought it was leaning against something. That was the only logical explanation. This thing then takes two steps forward while standing on two legs. That's when I noticed the chest, because it did not have a dog's chest. It had the chest of a man and abdomen. And the hands caught my attention because it was moving them up beside itself. And the hands more like that of a man, but more like claws. I saw its face was charcoal colored, with solid black eyes of eternal darkness, with blood coat dripping down its mouth to its chest like hot candle wax running down a wick. So much blood does not like the blood you would normally see in any type of animal fight. It was more like it was eating the coyote alive during the previous attack before I arrived. Again, the creature takes another step towards me, and I break out in a cold sweat, my mind finally realizing that I was looking at was a damn werewolf or something. That's not supposed to be of this world. The feeling in my mind was just absolute horror, as if the world around me no longer existed and I was in some sort of overwhelming sense of dread. Just in a millisecond, my fight or flight emotion kicked in and I jumped back and started to run, shining my flashlight forward as I run and then back behind me over and over to see what's happening. During this time, the sounds of my oversized gum boots were clicking loudly in the stillness of the night, and the crunching of the dead leaves beneath each stride that I took. The creature then begins to chase after me, moving at a pace I've never seen. But soon after, the monster took only a few steps, old Jake hit him, lunging his body weight towards the dogma-style creature. It made a loud thud noise of old Jake's body weight slamming into this thing, snapping his jaws together and growling, trying to protect me from any harm. As I shined my light behind me, this wolf thing just pushed old Jake off him with one hand like he was just a gnat, fly, or a flea, like he was nothing and did not bother the creature at all, while old Jake rolled back on the ground 4 or 5 feet. And the creature continued to chase me like I was the only thing in the world it was interested in. I started to yell out, Put it to him, Jake! Put it to him! Come on, you can do it! As I continued to run for my life with my gun still strapped to my back, only being a .22 caliber rifle that would cause no harm to this creature other than maybe just pissing it off even worse, I stood at 5 feet 10 inches and this creature towered over me at least 2 more feet in height. As I'm running, finally once again, old Jake attempts to stop him as it chases me, throwing his own body weight into the monster, and like the first time, it pushes him aside with ease. And back to the chase, this wolf thing went in my direction as I ran. It had its mindset on me, and me alone. I'm running with everything I can, run with all my energy my legs can produce through the forest towards the direction of the truck. And once again, I started to scream, "Come on, old Jake, put it to him! Get him, Jake, get him!" As this thing was gaining ground on me quickly, and for the third time, old Jake comes in towards the monster and hits him again with his body weight. And once he did, he heard a loud popping noise, and what I can only call the jaws of death locked down on the creature. Before I turned around, I just knew that old Jake had finally made good contact with the monster, and that's when I saw Jake at his mouth latched onto the hip of the werewolf, just hanging there on it, like a chihuahua on a mailman. That was a size difference, because old Jake was just nowhere near the same size as this animal. The monster then stopped, grabbed old Jake with both of its hands. As I'm telling this story now, it threw old Jake through the woods like a bag of garbage. I could see old Jake's body flying, hitting low-hanging tree branches, leaves, and brush. I knew at that point old Jake was dead. It was just me and the monster at this moment. As I continued to run with tears rolling down my face and a sense of both sorrow and dread, with thoughts in my mind that this thing just killed my dog. I'm all alone, no one here to save me. Not even Daniel Boone himself can come up from the grave to help me at this point. I'm going to be a goner for sure. The monster then continued to run on after me. At this point, it's so close to me, I can feel the heat on my back and my neck. I'm trying to run in a zigzag type of movement while being overwhelmed with emotion. I started yelling once again, "Come on, old Jake, please, I need you. Put it to him, Jake, put it to him." But no matter how many times I yelled and screamed for help, none came. He was gone. I stumbled over a fallen tree branch and fell face down on my belly into an old treetop that had blown over in the forest, maybe after a storm or something. Rolled over on my back, and then the creature dropped down on all 4 feet, and I started to crawl back into the mangled tree branches and decaying leaves while the monster continued to pursue me. At this point, the animal and I were at point-blank range, just a couple of feet from each other, snapping its mouth and snarling, the blood from the freshly killed coyote still dripping down its mouth, mixed in with snot and drool, while blowing its breath right on me, with the smell of rot and decay coming with it. Meanwhile, the whole time I'm continuing to yell, "Come on, Jake, come on!" I knew at that time, this was it. This was the end. I was trying to crawl for my life backwards while facing the animal, just trying to find a way out. And as the creature was now in range to grab hold of me, suddenly out of nowhere, old Jake hits the monster broadside, throwing his body weight into the creature, and it rolls over on its back. Jake climbs up on top of it and just starts mauling him, snapping his jaws, just munching on the monster. Old Jake was really putting the hurt into this dog from hell. I heard Jake's jaws lock down someplace on the creature and the sounds of bones crushing. The monster let out a painful howl that felt like it rattled the very earth I was crawling on. That's when I realized this is my chance. I stood up, ran across the mountain once again. I could hear the whole time the battle that was taking place behind me, and I was no longer looking back. But unfortunately, the situation changed. I could hear the monster finally turn back on old Jake, and it sounded like it was just ripping him to pieces. He was letting out painful barks and whimpers, making my stomach turn into knots, hearing the pain old Jake was going through. At this time, I came upon a clearing not far from the truck. I turned around, took the rifle off my back, and began to fire into the air. Pow! 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 The gunshots echoed off into the mountains all around me. I started yelling, "Come on, Jake! Come on! Please, come on! Let's go!" But the forest went completely silent, and it seemed no noise at all could be heard. I ran down to the truck, opened the door, and climbed inside. My grandfather said, "What on earth is going on?" I said, "Just drive. We have to go. We have to get out of here." I started telling him what happened, every detail as I could, as I was trembling in pure terror. Calmly, my grandfather said, "Listen, if you want to hunt, fish, and do stuff like a man, then you need to realize that there are things in the woods that I cannot explain, and you have to come to terms with that if you want to continue to live this life." In his humbling words, he then said, "Since you're so upset, I'll go ahead and take you home. But we'll come back in the morning to look for Bo and old Jake." I said, "No point in coming back. I heard what happened. Old Jake is dead, Peepaw. He's gone. He fought for my life, but he just didn't make it." Once again, my grandfather spoke, saying, "If everything you said is true, then you owe it to old Jake to at least come back in the morning and look for him. He fought tooth and nail for your life." As a boy just 15 years old, what my grandfather said was both the law and the truth to me. Every single word was one of wisdom and knowledge well beyond my years. We drove home. I did not sleep very much at all the rest of the night, knowing as soon as day broke, we were going to drive back to that area and look for our hounds. Meanwhile, still being filled with mixed emotions about the event that had happened just hours before, feeling everything from fear to heartbreak, a traumatic event. But as the morning came and the fog was lifting from the mountains, we loaded up the truck and traveled back out to the location we'd been hunting the night before. My grandfather got out of the truck. I just rolled my window down and we both began to call for our dogs. "Here, Jake! Here! Let's go home!" We all yelled for Bo, but he'd run far away when the coyotes had bitten him. So at that time, I was not that worried about him. We'd drive up and down the gravel road, repeating the same actions time and time again with no luck. My grandfather said we'd go home and return that evening to try once more. That evening when we drove back to where we last saw our hounds, we started to call and whistle for them again. On down the road a little bit, we could hear something moving through the forest coming out towards the road. And once it stepped out, my grandfather said, "Hey, Bo just came out of the woods. A big red tick dog of yours, so grab your dog, leash, and go get him." I said, "All right, Peepaw." Started to walk towards Bo. That was just barely moving slowly. And I just got closer to him, then realizing it was not Bo. It was old Jake, covered from head to toenail in blood. Some dry, most still moist. His injuries were beyond severe anymore. Anyone would have seen him at that point in time would question how he was even standing with a couple of broken bones and major flesh root wounds across his body. But he was alive. My grandfather walked over, grabbed all 120 pounds of Jake's mangled body, picked him up, carried him over to the vehicle, then put him in the back of the truck. Never seen my grandfather do something like that because he was a tough love type of guy. But he was just as heartbroken at that moment as I was. We drove out of the Daniel Boone National Forest back to the farm. Most people, I believe, would have probably, with a dog that was so severely injured, put him out of his misery and buried him. But we did not. My mama did a lot of veterinarian work with our animals on the farm, and somehow, against all odds, she was able to doctor old Jake up. Pretty much bring him back to life. From that moment on, old Jake and I had a special bond. We were always best friends, and he lived a long and happy life. I'll never forget what old Jake did for me that night in the battle in the backwoods. And if a dog loves its human enough, it will battle something that is unbeatable to keep you safe from harm. I gave up on old Jake's life multiple times that terrible night, and he fought for me repeatedly. That was a really hard thing to live with on top of the trauma I was not ready for at that time in my life. And if it were not for the wisdom of my humble grandfather, then we would have lost old Jake forever. Both have now left this world and have been called up way yonder to hopefully hunt in the hills of heaven. You can say what you want to say about what terrifies you the most, but to me, it will always be the thing I saw. I guess you can say it was a dogman, werewolf, hellhound, skinwalker. I'm not sure. But what I do know is it bled and felt pain just like any other animal in the world. And so I know what I saw was tangible and real. By the way, about a week later, someone found Bo at a local country store. I was able to also go get him back as well. If you do not have anyone lend you a helping hand in a dire situation, then I pray you at least bring a paw to pull you out, as I did that October night. R.I.P. Pawpaw, Hank, and old Jake. Your friend.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.